It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
President Trump concedes that dissident Saudi Arabian journalist Jamal Khashoggi may in fact be dead. And why not? Hillary Clinton and George Soros are still on the loose. Has anyone investigated their role in the death? We won't be. We're Forward Nation Radio, and I'm David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us for this week's show. With friends like these. Dot, dot, dot. Yes, of course, the big news for the week, still dominating the news, Saudi Arabia kills a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, and Donald Trump accepts their version of events. And by accepting their version of events, I mean he accepts version number one, accepts version number two, accepted version number three, and at the time we're going to record this show, is accepting version number four. That's kind of all they're up to at this point. Version number four being something so comical in its brazenness, it's sort of remarkable that they would come out and say this stuff to anybody who might or might not believe it. Sound familiar? Brazenness in their lies is right out of the Republican playbook. This must be another way for Mohammed bin Salman, the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, to ingratiate himself with Donald Trump and the Republican Party. I think the latest version is that this 60-something-year-old journalist died accidentally in a fight that happened in the Saudi consulate. Yeah, and the fact that the guys were heading over with bone saws at the time that he, or before he entered the consulate, well, that doesn't really undermine it because, after all, it's comical in its brazenness. And it wasn't floated for anyone to believe it. It was floated for people who want to look the other way, i.e. the President of the United States, to look the other way. Speaking of sound familiar, MBS, as he is affectionately and not so affectionately known, promises a full and thorough investigation. Boy, does this sound familiar? Like Vladimir Putin was promising a full and thorough investigation of election meddling? Like the Republican Party was promising a full and thorough investigation of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's allegations against Brett Kavanaugh? And probably a full and thorough investigation of Brett Kavanaugh's repeated lying. Well, it looks like we're going to have to add another entry to the dictionary. Full and thorough investigation should join shocked, shocked, as meaning the exact opposite of what it's purported to mean. So when someone says, we promise a full and thorough investigation, what we should hear is, okay, we're going to blatantly cover this up now. Please go on with your day. But finally, the President of the United States reluctantly concedes, as the New York Times headline put it, concedes that Khashoggi is probably dead. Oh, this is so unfortunate for Donald Trump. Why doesn't anybody ever think about Donald Trump? Despite the fact that he's been told by U.S. intelligence undoubtedly from the very beginning that Saudi Arabia killed this guy, he now, since it is completely public knowledge, concedes what everybody else knows. One thing about the President of the United States, he may be the last to know, but actually, yeah, he's just the last to know. Yeah. So Saudi Arabia, turns out, while they're saying this was an accident or it never happened or whatever iteration we're in at this point, they sent in a cleaning crew to clean the whole thing up. I think, as it often is, it was said best by The Onion in another classic headline. Saudis admit journalist Khashoggi died during botched assassination attempt. Yeah, think about it. That's sort of where we are right now. I guess at some point, the Saudis are going to learn that they just need to blame this on Hillary Clinton and George Soros. Why not? That's what we do in America. I understand Donald Trump is in a difficult position. The United States wants to have good relations in Saudi Arabia because we tend to think they're less of a military threat to us and, more importantly, to Israel than some of the other countries in their region, i.e. Iran. We want them to keep pumping out that oil, but most importantly, we want them to keep buying our weapons. The United States is basically, we are reminded from this saga, the NRA to the world. I was asked in one of my classes the other day, what is it that America still manufactures? And of course, tops on the list of things we should be so proud of is that we are the weapons manufacturer of the world. That's right. If somebody's blown to bits anywhere in the world, chances are there's shell fragments that say made in the USA on them. What are those weapon sales doing? We hope that this week you didn't miss the UN report predicting that 13 million Yemenis will starve unless Saudi Arabia stops its bombing campaign. I guess if the United States runs out of weapons to sell it. So as the President of the United States works feverishly to help cover up a murder, we have to ask ourselves, I guess maybe this should be a recurring segment, what crimes has the U.S. President not covered up since he has been in office? Oh, this sounds like a fun game. The president, President Trump, once again, proving his critics wrong. And I'm man enough to admit that he has proven me wrong. Once again, people like myself are constantly underestimating the president of the United States. Some of us thought that his lies had reached rock bottom, perhaps, with covering up attempted rape. And, of course, covering up and putting the person who apparently attempted to rape a woman on the United States Supreme Court. But we thought we'd hit rock bottom with attempted rape. Oh, yes. We now hearken back, though, with covering up murder to the good old days of where the President of the United States was just covering up treason. Being beholden to a hostile foreign power and blatantly working for Vladimir Putin of Russia. Oh, even before that, and concurrent with that, the silly little crimes that the President of the United States had worked so hard to cover up for so long. His tax evasion, which the dastardly New York Times had the nerve to come out with a report proving that he has been committing tax evasion and covering it up. And then, of course, there was fraud. Just a little bit of, you know, everyday business fraud, tax fraud, election fraud, whatever, just a little bit of fraud. And then of course, we have money laundering. The President of the United States spent a lot of time since he's been in office covering up his own money laundering for Russian mobsters, among others. And banks, which is pretty close to the same thing. Well, we have the self-dealing while in office. Theft from the United States, from pretty much everybody who's ever worked in his administration, to himself, the violation of the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution, something that 99.9% of Americans had never even heard of until Donald Trump came along and repeatedly violated it, self-dealing while in political office, selling hotel rooms to foreign dignitaries in Trump hotels. Then, of course, there was covering up Hatch Act violations, where members of the administration were selling things. Remember Kellyanne Conway going on TV to sell Ivanka's clothes. Well, let's see. There's perjury, just a quaint little crime of perjury committed by, again, pretty much anyone in the Trump administration who's ever actually had to testify under oath. And speaking to you, Brett Kavanaugh, a lot of people not in the Trump administration having to testify under oath. Let's see, we've got disclosing confidential information while showing off to Russians, Israelis, spies from around the world, covering up that one. All of these crimes and cover-ups seem almost quaint now that he's covering up murder. This is just, once again, addressing the tip of the iceberg of Republicans violating every code of decency and every norm that this country has ever implemented in order to get by. Oh, sure, during the week, we learned about his latest attack against women, a woman in this case, calling Stormy Daniels horse face. Okay, he's got a lot of enmity. He's involved there in litigation against Stormy Daniels. You could see at least why he might be angry at someone resenting being screwed over by him. But of course, it is reminiscent of all the other women in this country and elsewhere who he has denigrated by making fun of their looks, even making fun of them going to the bathroom or other normal human processes. But breaking codes of decency, we stepped that up another level this week when the Republican Party, in a reminder that blaming where they are right now on Trump is really giving the entire party a pass. But apparently, we find out that the GOP, the Republicans in the Senate, had a deal with Senate Democrats, where in return for the Democrats allowing them to appoint 15 unqualified pieces of garbage to our federal courts for lifetime appointments, the GOP would stop at 15 for now and allow the Democrats to go home and run their campaigns for re-election. Well, the Democrats allowed the Republicans to push through those 15 almost certainly unqualified political hacks for the federal judiciary. And then guess what? Lucy didn't hold the football again. The GOP decided to break their deal once they already had the 15 and try to ram through a whole bunch more, which they're doing as we speak, not allowing the Democrats to go back and campaign. And why not? It's a win-win. Not only do they get unqualified garbage onto the federal courts for the rest of my lifetime, they also prevent Democrats from campaigning. Republicans don't really need to campaign that much. Opening their mouths in front of constituents can't be a good thing. They'll let the Koch brothers' money speak for them in TV commercials. We are reminded again with this broken deal about how the Republicans have broken every deal regarding court appointments, every deal regarding reaching out and working with the other side. For instance, the idea of the blue slips that could allow a home state senator to shoot down a federal court appointment that he or she didn't like. Republicans got rid of that one while they finished off the filibuster with the United States Supreme Court. And this is, as I keep talking about on this show, perhaps, assuming, which is a rash assumption, we don't end up using our nuclear weapons, this is the most scary part of the whole Republican agenda. If there is any hope for the future of this country, these sons of bitches will be thrown out of office in a big way sometime very soon. In a few weeks. If that doesn't happen, I'm not sure there is much of a future for this country. But even if these bastards are swept out of office, even if they are chased at the point of a bayonet out of Washington, by filling up our federal courts with apparatchiks, this legacy will last for years, decades, maybe generations. We also learned this week regarding court appointments, something that we've talked about on this show many times and is no surprise to anybody. George Bush Sr. having made the mistake years ago of putting a guy on the United States Supreme Court, David Souter, who he wasn't completely familiar with, and having it turn out that David Souter turned out to be a good justice with some decency and empathy and humanity. In other words, he sided with the so-called liberal wing of the United States Supreme Court. Well, the Republicans aren't making that mistake again, and they damn well know before they put anyone on a federal court exactly what that person is going to vote in any particular case, or how that person is going to vote in any particular case. Well, we learned this week that the Heritage Foundation, the arm of the Republican Party that masquerades as a think tank, has actually been running secret training sessions for future court nominees, for court clerks and others, secretly training them in the ways of conservative economics and economic success by being a Republican and letting the benefits trickle down to your family members, I'm sure. As part of this training to go onto the courts to be political apparatchiks, they were sworn to secrecy, unable to talk about what they learned, what the lessons were taught by the Heritage Foundation, or even the fact that they basically came out of a right-wing training program to join our federal courts. The idea that the Republicans would burn down the institution of our court system, of our justice system, the third branch of the United States government, would be shocking in normal times. Now, it's just depressing, but absolutely expected. So, of course, the Republicans respond about political decisions by touting their one exception, perhaps, to that rule. The Justice Roberts decision in the Sebelius case that upheld Obamacare back in 2012. Justice Roberts angering his conservative base by casting the fifth and deciding vote to uphold the most important provisions of Obamacare and thus save Obama's signature achievement. I have reported before on this show that Roberts has gotten criticism unfairly from the right, in that Roberts just has more brains than most of them to consider the long game. And that's what he was playing, obviously then and obviously now. It was good politics for him to allow the ACA to continue. Look at the result. Shortly thereafter that, the Republicans took over the House and then took over the Senate. And then, this incompetent criminal piece of garbage is now the president of the United States. How much of this might have been different? How much would their base have been less energized if they had already gotten rid of Obamacare? No, what Roberts has been doing, and I had reported on this a long time ago, but for our more recent viewers, I'd like to go through this again. Roberts is playing the long game. In fact, if one looks at his decision, the decision is incredibly problematic, even though it upheld the Affordable Care Act. For most of this country's history, federal government action to do things like regulate the environment and worker safety and things like that has been premised on the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution, which gives the federal government the right to legislate where their legislation will affect interstate commerce. This constitutional provision has always been construed broadly to give the federal government the ability to regulate and do what it needs to do to ensure we have one country on the same page looking forward to the future. Well, Roberts decided that was the main argument in the Sebelius case in favor of the Affordable Care Act, that this clearly affected interstate commerce and people's ability to go from state to state and still have health insurance. And that was the main premise and the expectation from legal scholars, that it was because of the Commerce Clause that the ACA was perfectly constitutional. Roberts' decision in Sebelius, however, did not rely upon the Commerce Clause. In fact, it said that the Commerce Clause did not support the Affordable Care Act, thus narrowly reading the Commerce Clause for generations perhaps to come. Instead, he premised his decision on the taxing authority, which will have little long-term implications for federal government actions. So Republicans right now, Republican supporters who are celebrating the Republicans cheating, breaking the norms of civilized society, not working in a democratic government with another side to try to reach consensus to move this country forward. Trump supporters, of course, are celebrating. What the hell? We're winning. Once again demonstrating that there's not generally any belief in process or things working the way they should. There's just winning. Winning for the party, winning for the jackasses who root for the party. The thing with celebrating poor refereeing, however, is that's fine when your team is getting the benefit of the bad calls. But of course, these same people who will tell you while watching a sporting event or anything else, oh, stop your whining about the referee. As soon as they perceive a call to go against them, they will be whining and crying on the floor about how bad it is to be, I don't know, a white male in America. How awful when fairness isn't judicially administered. Well, at some point, hopefully starting in a couple of weeks, and then 2 years later, if these sons of bitches are swept out the door by enough sentient American voters to want a better country, or for that matter, a country, let's hope that the victorious Democratic Party will respond the same way the Republicans are responding right now. Get over it. Stop your whining. You lost. We're stomping on your head. Oh, yeah, we're done taking the high road. So part of this breaking the codes of decency goes back to the whole basic idea of the Republican Party basically destroying the United States government. It's war, in effect, on civilians. And by destroying the United States government, I mean declaring war on the United States governing institutions other than the United States military. Turning the United States government into basically a military organization that occasionally takes money from its poorest citizens to give it to its wealthiest citizens. That is the dream government that Republicans are bringing us to. Their willingness to break all of the rules of democratic comedy with respect to governing, with respect to court selections, evidences the freedom not only of a party that is completely lacking any sense of ethics, decency, or fairness. It is also evidence of a political party that has no interest in government or governing. And that must be really liberating to the Republicans. Gave the example of King Solomon being willing to split the baby in two. Well, in this case, if the baby is the United States government, Republicans have no problem with splitting it in two. Speaking of war on civilians, the Republican tax cut was back in the news this week in a very obscure way. In fact, it was only back in the news for those of us who follow the news closely and understand, can draw a line, not just from A to B, but from A to B to C to D. And that's what we're here for at Forward Nation Radio. Donald Trump, of course, is very upset at the correction in the stock market. The stock market over the last few weeks haven't fallen off dramatically. Donald Trump is very upset about that. He, in fact, has declared war on the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States for raising interest rates. But, of course, little noticed in some circles is the fact that the stock market correction was due in large part to the fact that companies this time of year tend to slow down dramatically on their buying back of their own stock in preparation for finishing their financial statements. And it's been pointed out in many circles that what's been buoying the stock market over the last year has been the fact that companies have been buying back, companies have been the biggest buyers, overwhelmingly, of their own stock. And now that they're stopping, the stock market is going way down. Well, here's the story here with the buybacks, because my bet is that most of our listeners, even, have missed this. When the Republicans passed their disgraceful tax cut, their payoff to their trillionaire donors, I guess they're billionaire donors to the tune of trillions of dollars. They're not yet trillionaires. Give it a little bit of time. When the Republicans were paying off their donors and stealing from the rest of our society through their tax cut of some time ago, the criticism from people who have some idea what the hell's going on in this country, of course, was this is simply a way to pay back your donors. You are lowering taxes on incredibly rich people. That includes A, yourself, and B, your donors. This isn't about America. This is basically about theft. So when the Republicans were basically stealing from the country by funneling all this extra money through their corporations and thus to themselves and their big donors, as always, their justification was trickle-down economics, in effect. Oh, by giving these corporations huge tax cuts, they're going to invest in their own companies. They're going to hire workers. They're going to share the wealth with others. We, of course, ridiculed that, as everybody has ridiculed that whole idea from the very beginning. We critics, in fact, said history is a guide, and the guide says that the corporations are going to use these huge tax cuts not to give money to their workers, because why would they give money to their workers, but basically to give money to their owners and their executives. And how do they do that? Well, one way is to give bonuses to their executives, but the main way they funnel this money to their big corporate owners is by buying back their own stock. And in the past, when corporations have been given huge tax cuts, they use those tax cuts not to invest in those corporations, but in fact to buy back their own stocks, to increase the price of the stock, to thus increase the wealth of the wealthy owners. In other words, this whole idea of what's happened, the stock market success for so long after the Republican tax cuts, Republicans say, see, look, our policies are working. The stock market is going up. But in fact, by the stock market going up, it was absolutely proving that the Republicans were full of shit. That in fact, the critics were right. The corporations were not using this money. And again, we knew this because this is what happens every single time, Charlie Brown. The Republicans were not using all this money to reward their employees and invest in their own businesses. They were using it to buy back their own stocks, thus raising the stock price. So the Republicans were absolutely proven wrong by events. But since events are somewhat complicated, they just declared victory. See, the events that are proving us absolutely wrong and that are exactly what our critics said were going to happen is leading to an increase in stock prices, which means, hey, aren't we great? And then when the buybacks slowed down, there was a stock market correction and Republicans blamed this all on the Federal Reserve. There's been no discussion that I have seen anywhere in the media about this fact, about the fact that the stock market boom and then the correction from not buying back their own stocks is absolutely proof, or more proof, that the critics were right about what American corporations were going to do with their tax cuts. No, of course, as we've pointed out many times on this show, what in fact was going on with this is not only were they just basically stealing money from the rest of us, but they were starving the beast, that they would then show that these tax cuts did not, in fact, boost the economy. We do not have supply-side economics. It didn't lead to riches for all of us. In fact, what it led to is, again, what all the critics said, which is a lot less money for the United States government. Therefore, starve the beast. Republicans are already talking about how, gee, after the November election, they're going to have to start thinking about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Oh, they love those things just as much as the rest of us do. In fact, the Republicans love them so much, they're campaigning on how the Democrats are trying to destroy Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not making this up. They're just flat out lying. And the Republicans are already indicating, say goodbye to Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security as we know it, because gosh darn it, we just don't have enough money. That's starve the beast. Environmental regulations? Oh, gosh. Even where they are a good idea, we just don't have the money. Education for our children? Oh, I'm sorry. Clean water? Oh, just not enough money in the budget for that. We really would love to do some of these things, but gosh darn it, there just isn't enough money. Somebody has to pay for tax cuts for billionaires. So the election in 2 weeks is, shall we say, important. If Democrats at least take back the House of Representatives, they will be able to prevent the repeal of many programs to support a civilized society, to invest in the future, to invest in our citizens. Of course, that's still not much of an answer, because unfortunately, what we will see is that the Trump administration will simply refuse to enforce the laws that are there. Will not enforce environmental laws, education laws, fraud laws, bank regulations. They just won't enforce them. So they won't be able to repeal the laws, which is fine, because they probably don't want to do that publicly anyway. They prefer to operate under cover of darkness. Though they'll just destroy the enforcement. Take that away. And if there's ever challenges to the administration's refusing to act according to U.S. law, to promote the law as they are required to do, we can all take heart. Those cases will get in front of our federal judicial system and will go in front of federal judges. Maybe they'll even reach the United States Supreme Court. And now we've come full circle. And we understand why it is that the Republicans have worked so hard to fill our judiciary with people who don't respect the rights of government, the obligations of government, and the rights of citizens. We on the left often keep ourselves somewhat sane by saying, well, Trump and the Republicans are awful, but it is a statement of the wisdom of our founding fathers that our civic institutions are holding despite the frontal assault against them. Oh, stop your whining, some will say on the right or in the middle. The country isn't falling apart. That's what we've been saying for a long time. Our civic institutions are holding. Really? Are they still holding now? The Senate is a joke. The Senate has fallen apart. Republicans have split the Senate apart and said that they do not care what senators representing a majority of the United States citizens care. They will completely destroy the body and discredit it. The House of Representatives, that's been a joke under Republicans for a long time. Remember how the House of Representatives spent their time trying to cover up Trump's ties to Russia rather than investigate them? And now our court system is the next to go. The Heritage Foundation training our law clerks to be future judges, to forget the rule of law and just promote the interests of the Republican Party. Our civic institutions are starting to fray, and we are running out of time. Am I a little bit nervous about 2 weeks from now? I'm scared to death. And why the hell aren't you? Anyway, we'll leave on that wonderfully positive, upbeat note. More on the Republican Party and how they scrape the bottom of the barrel to stay in power in upcoming episodes. But for now, thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next week and in future weeks. Please do listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean. Please do share us with your friends. Raise the issues that we raise in conversations at family meals. It's time to help educate the people around you so that we can make better decisions and basically save this country. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.